In Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1. In your Bible, that comes just before Ephesians chapter 2. So if you're having trouble finding it. Scottish mother was visiting her son in his New York City apartment. "How do you find the Americans, Donald?" "Oh, Mom, they're crazy noisy."
"Oh?"
"Yeah. All night long. Guy on this side, banging his head against the wall. Fella on the other side, he screams and he screams all night long." "Oh, Donald, how do you manage?" "Well, Mom, do the only thing I can. I lay back quietly in me bed and I play me bagpipes." How many know that sometimes there's things we can do to change our circumstances? And it may take us a while for that light to come on. That's true in the church. And it mostly has to do or to start with our attitude. God is always about bending and stretching and moving and revitalizing our attitude. The church in Ephesus was under attack, outside, inside, upside down. From the outside, she had all these pagans that were trying to force her into foreclosure. On the inside, you had a church full of people who were struggling. And they sometimes wondered, is it worth the effort? Can we continue to go on? And I believe that this letter from Paul to the Ephesians must have hit them like a charge, like a lightning bolt, giving them the energy to decide we're moving forward. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May it have the same effect on us this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, the first six verses. "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints of God in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." Father, there's a lot of verbiage here. There's a lot of great stuff. Help our ears not to glaze over, but help us to dig deeper today and find out some of this wealth that has been set aside for us to enjoy, not just when we get to heaven, but in the here and the now. Lord, some of us need a charge from heaven today. The attack from outside, the worries from within, we need to hear you today. And thanks for being here to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul introduces himself as the author of this letter, and then he tells us exactly who he's writing to. To the saints of God in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, that title, saint, was one hard-earned title by these people. It was not easy to be a Christian in the city of Ephesus. Ephesus was the center of worship for Artemis, a false goddess. And a lot of people made their living by tourist trade that was connected with Artemis. They made these tiny little statues that when you went to visit, you got one and you took it home and you had your own idol, a likeness of the goddess. And they noticed that when the church came into town and when people started converting to Christianity, they were losing business as tradesmen. And so that got the whole economy involved, and everybody got upset, and they put a lot of pressure on anybody who talked about Jesus there in that city. You had to pay a high price if you were going to join the church. You would be ridiculed, you would be laughed at, you would be in some places tortured, and in a few instances they even lost their lives as they worship the Lord. You could lose your career. You could be ostracized in many different ways. So that title, saint, that meant something. If you were going to join the church, it was going to cost you something. Now, you and I, when we look for a church, we'll visit a time or two. We'll check out the amenities. We'll see if we're too warm or too chilly. Was the ladies' room nice? And so on and so forth. Could you imagine being in a place where deciding to follow Jesus could cost you your family, your job, even your life? Indeed, Timothy, who pastored the church in Ephesus for a while, lost his life while witnessing for Christ one day. So, and Paul added as well, he said, ministering in Ephesus was like being among wild beasts. Those people are wicked. He feared for his life as he helped to establish the church in that place. Now, commentators will tell you, don't make a big deal out of that word saint. I know in the Catholic Church they will make saints out of individuals if they achieve some great status and did certain things in their life. Biblically, the word saint refers to everybody who has been born again. If you've received Jesus Christ into your heart, you are a saint. You have been set aside for God. Now, the commentators say, don't make a big deal out of that because we're all saints. And I'm telling you this morning, wear that title with pride. You are a saint set apart unto God. Remember those who have given their lives to wear that title. We're a patriotic group, we Americans, and we ought to be. We ought to be very thankful for the freedoms we have and for the people that sacrificed to secure those freedoms for us. But we also ought to have a similar patriotism for our home in heaven, for our nation that is to come. And we have many precious brothers and sisters that carried the gospel so that you and I might hear. How could we believe if we had not heard? And they carry the title Saint of God. So don't us cheapen it. Don't us take it as a simple thing. Because still today throughout the world, there are many places where if you decide to follow Jesus, you're going to suffer great loss, physically speaking. On the way in this morning, Word FM, there was a young lady giving her testimony. She was a Muslim that converted to Christianity, and she has to live in hiding because her family is duty-bound to kill her if they find her as an infidel. And she said, I still to this day live as a person without any family. She said, that's very hard for a young lady. And if you know anything about the Muslim community, they're all about family. They are intricately bound together their lives. It's all family, family, family. And this young lady decided to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. She said, but even in my sufferings, I can tell you, I have found a fellowship with Jesus that is worth all of the sacrifice that is there. She's a saint of God. And what one thing that pinches me is I'm going to stand in heaven with people like that someday. And how in the world are we going to measure up when, well, we were a little embarrassed to let somebody else know we were a Christian, you know, because then we wouldn't get invited to the party or we wouldn't be in the in crowd or something stupid like that. When these others, so what I'm saying is honor the title, wear the title with pride. And live up to the title, to be a saint. And to these saints, Paul says, grace and peace. Grace and peace to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace from one who has suffered to others who are suffering for the name. Once while Paul was ministering in that particular city, the silversmiths decided to riot. They gathered a huge crowd. They came to place to the Colosseum there, and they shouted for 2 solid hours, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians! Great is Artemis of the Ephesians! Great!" I don't know whether it was like a Penn State crowd. We are Penn State. Great is our other. However, they did 2 solid hours. They were screaming at the top of their lungs, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" And I'm sure that anybody who was in the church that Paul's writing to can remember that day. So notice how he begins writing to them. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not great is Artemis of the... But praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was a new song. It was a new beat for these people, these ex-pagans. They would have all that paganism just driven into them. Every song would have words of pagan belief to them and so on. But now there's a reforming, there's a transformation that's going on. Here's one of their champions reflecting back to them. I was there during those hard days. And now praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. They knew the stripes that were on Paul's back. They knew the stuff that he had suffered all along. And this guy was one who could speak into their lives and say, you know what, we've been through some stuff together. It's cost us something to follow the Lord. But praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is worthy of it all. He is worthy of so much more. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 6 intones for us, and then it's confirmed in verse 14, what all of this is about. What it was about in Ephesus, why they suffered so much, what it was coming to. Everything that you've been through in your life, all of the twists and the turns, and the stuff that's going on today, it's all to the praise of His glorious name. Now, your salvation is precious to you as mine is to me. But you know who it's really precious to? It's precious to Jesus. Jesus is saving souls. The Bible says that whenever there's a soul saved, all of heaven rejoices. They are excited about you, not just for your sake, but you are a trophy. You are a masterpiece that God is working on, and He can't wait to get you to heaven to show you off. But it's not about you, it's about Him. You ever do something you're proud of? You ever make something and you couldn't wait to show it? You know, you're a little kid and mom's going to hang it on the refrigerator and you just glow. That's what I did. That's awesome. You make something that you think is delicious, and so you want somebody else to hey, taste this. This is really good. Yeah, I made that. Well, that's what God's doing with you. He's making you. He's shaping you and forming you and making you into something He's bragging about in heaven. Isn't that awesome? He dances over you. He rejoices over you. He enjoys you as you are being formed. Now, when you get to heaven, you are going to be something that He gushes over. Now, how can that be, seeing as that right now we're unworthy, untrained, barbaric, guilty, and stained? We don't belong in heaven. But our text is telling us, when we get to heaven, we are going to be spotless, pure, perfect, holy, and blameless. Can you imagine? You are going to stand before God and you're going to just go, whoa, I am like a 5,000 watt. Woohoo! Here you're just a dimwit, I get that, but over there, you are just going to shine. You're not going to forget why you're in this room. You're not going to misplace any of my keys. You're going to shine. And see, here's where God comes in. Everybody's going to see what you were, and they're going to see what you are, and they're going to ask, how in the world did you make this out of that? I had an Uncle Bill, and he had this beautiful old pickup truck, and he would go to the junkyard, and he would drag stuff home. And my aunt would always give him the business about that. But he would make birdhouses, and he would make wind chimes, and he would make the most interesting and beautiful things out of what he would drag home. Well, that's what God's doing. You see, only God, by His powerful grace, can make a saint out of a sinner. Only God can take something of earth and make it fit for heaven. That's to His glory. Hallelujah. You know, we're going to get to the other side, and they're not going to say, oh, how great you are. They're going to say, oh, God, look what you did. And the more messed up you are over here, the more praise is going to go to Him over there. Hallelujah. Thank God for messed up people. Amen. And if you're the worst of the worst, you're going to be the best of the best. And everybody's going to say, whew, I could see what you did with him, but him, oh my, you are a great God. How many are willing to give God your messed up stuff? You just, hey, God, here I am. Woo-hoo. My wife can't do anything with me. My mom couldn't do anything with me, but God can. Hallelujah. He is going to make something beautiful out of this mess that we hand over to Him. Only God can do that. Now, how does He do it? The Bible says He does it by His grace. Grace is the agent that He pours on us. And in verse 8, it says He lavished it on it. Get the picture of perfuming a skunk. Okay? How much perfume would you have to put on a skunk until you said, oh boy, that smells good? And that's us. We're a bunch of skunks. And God just knew, I can't put a little bit of grace on this one. Oh man, it's going to, oh man, bring it out. And just pour it on. And God doesn't say, that's a skunk. I ain't wasting my perfume on no skunk. He says, that's a skunk. We got to get him ready for heaven. I don't want stinking up here. So pour it out. Give him great grace. Give him tremendous grace. Just whatever it calls for. Even if he becomes a prodigal and he runs away for a while, we'll just store up the grace till he gets back home. And man, we're just going to make this guy smell beautiful by the time we're done. If you just pour a little perfume on a skunk, you've wasted your perfume. And God is not in the wasting business. What he has started in you, he will continue on to perfection. He wants you to smell beautiful. He wants you to shine in glory. You are going to be perfected on the other side because of grace. Grace is right now changing you. You sometimes argue with God, and God, I can't get over this, and God, I can't get past that, and I'll never be able to forgive them. God says, more grace! Blum, 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 blum. Grace not only forgives you, grace empowers you to do what you could never do before. So if you're stuck right now, stop it. Quit being stuck. Understand there's more grace coming. Maybe you couldn't handle it yesterday, but you can handle it tomorrow because my God is on the throne. And he says, lavish that grace on him. Just keep pouring it out. So you may have struggles just yet. Hey, you're not in heaven yet. You're not perfect yet, but you're getting there because of him. It's to his praise. He's not going to be bad-mouthed on the other side. Nobody's going to say, well, you couldn't fix that one now, could you? Not to my God. My great God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or think. So where does all this grace come from? Where's he get it from? Well, it comes from the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. The pure and innocent one was poured out in order to make us holy. And there's enough grace flowing from Calvary. There's enough perfume to make every stinky skunk smell beautiful in glory when we get to the other side. So you see how we're getting around now to his praise and glory? It's not because we're such nice skunks. It's not because we're such sweet skunks. No. We stink. But he is beautiful and he is awesome. And he just lavishes that out. And it was paid for in full by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you have put your faith, in Jesus Christ, you are predestined to appear before God holy and blameless, and that to the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are predestined to be perfected. Now, how does that fight against that little voice inside of you always driving you backwards? Always telling you to give up. Always telling you to quit. No. The Word of God says that if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have an appointment with God, and when you get there, you will be holy and blameless. Predestined means the ticket has already been purchased on your behalf. The outcome has already been determined. Accommodations are already arranged. You are on your way to heaven, and when you get there, it's going to be awesome. You are going to shine. You are going to smell beautiful. All of heaven is going to stand to its feet to welcome you home and say, oh, there's another one. That's, oh, what a work of God. Hallelujah. They will cheer as you come through the gates. And who do we have to thank for this? Well, it's mentioned that throughout the scripture, there's three guys. The Father chose us. The Son died for us. The Holy Spirit marks us as his own. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all praise to him. Now, you may not be handsome. You may not be rich. You may not be too bright. But if you have Jesus, you win. You win. You win. In this earth, you may not be anything great at all. But if you found Jesus, you are at the head of the game. You win, you win, you win. And heaven awaits to see what you look like on the other side. Now, I titled the first point of my sermon here, Bang. Praise be to the God who predestined us to be holy and blameless in his sight. Looking in the mirror this morning, holy, blameless, did those words come to mind? Perfect, beautiful, any of those? God has predestined us to be all of that. He paid it all and then chose us just to ride along. What a God. What a God. I say, take that, Artemis of the Ephesians. How great is our God? Amen. Verses 15 through 17 says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So having established the fact that our calling and election into sainthood is sure, we are saints of God and we have a great glorious inheritance in Jesus Christ. The prayer that Paul prays for us is that we might have a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we can get to know God better. When you get saved, the day you come to Christ, a door opens to you and you have an invitation from the Lord saying, come and explore and get to know me. Now, we have been hijacked in the church for far too long by prosperity preachers who make it all about money or a new car or a better career and these things. You see, that is substituting trinkets for treasure. Because what Paul is saying to us is that the gates of heaven have been flung open wide so that you can now go in and fellowship with God. You can feel his peace. You can enjoy his energy. You can have his strength. You tap into his wisdom. And what happens is the devil comes on, hey, don't you want some money? Hey, wouldn't you like a promotion at work? Hey, wouldn't you like to be more popular? Over here. This is what Christianity is all about. Trinkets. And God is saying, stop it. I'll supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. You don't have to worry about that junk. But get your mind right. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be taken care of well enough. But quit focusing on the other things. Quit selling your soul so cheap. But find out who you are, where you're going, what has been paid for you, and what is available to you in God right now. You can crawl right up into the lap of the Father and ask whatever is on your heart. And God will love you and give you the desires of your heart if your heart is right. So do you see the difference there? I could have a brand new car, or I could have intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. See, where's your focus? Now, you can still have a brand new car and intimacy with you. I understand that. But if this car is your focus, you're losing. You're losing. But if you've got the joy of the Lord, you've got strength. If you're growing in God, you're getting to that place where you need to be, because it's not all about heaven. It's about what's happening right now. He is able to convert us from trash into treasure in this life. He's not just waiting until the other side. Look what I could do with this guy once I killed him. I was able to straighten everything out once he was dead. They became very cooperative. No, God's got a great plan in mind. Now, if he has to kill us to perfect us, he's willing to do that. But his will and his purpose is to be working in me right now. If I am stubborn, he wants to soften me. If I am angry, he wants to sweeten me. And that's the work of God that benefits me right now. As I seek after him, he changes me more into his image day after day. He delivers us from selfish ambition into loving servants of God. He takes our anger issues and he brings about a person who is patient, who is kind, who is loving, who is peaceable. That's what God is about right now. Now, if you're going the other direction, you used to be calmer and kind and so on, but you're getting more messed up, that's not good. But if you started out messed up and God is straightening out your spaghetti, then he is being glorified while that's going on. And you can take all of your cares and concerns to the Lord. Whatever is messing you up right now, give it over to God, and he will help to straighten it out. Because see, this is part of God's plan here. When people see the change in your life, they will sense that there's hope for them. But you used to be so much more messed up. You know, I've been watching you and I've seen this take... What's up with you? When they see a broken person becoming whole, when they see somebody that's messed up starting to get straightened out, they sense that hope. They want to know, where did you get washed? What have you been drinking, and is there any left for me? But we won't be a light in the darkness if we're not digging ever deeper in him. Conversely, if we're hungering and thirsting for the right stuff, if we're going after God, all this other stuff is going to be worked out as we go along. Marriages will be healed. Families will be restored. Good things will come as we seek after the Lord. Thus Paul's prayer here, it continues in verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be opened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. So he says two things here. Here's what I'm praying for every Christian. The eyes of your heart may be open to know the hope that's coming. I hope you get excited about what's coming, heaven-wise. And his incomparably great power that's working in us right now. That same power that rose Jesus from the dead now lives in us. Think about that power. Jesus was dead, and then he was raised as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's pretty good power, eh? That power is the same power he uses in your life. Oh, no, no, no. You see, he used a lightning bolt for Jesus, and I got like this 9-volt. Kind of zips your tongue every once in a while. No. The Bible says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives and works in you. Hallelujah. You are now a force in this world for pulling down strongholds and rescuing sinners. Don't let the devil pull that wool over your eyes and, oh, I could never do nothing good. Oh, I'm just a this, I'm just a that. You may be a this or a that, but you are filled with the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. You are a force to be reckoned with. When your feet hit the floor in the morning, all of hell trembles. When you pray, heaven and earth begin to move. The problem is you forgot. You didn't think so. You got discouraged somewhere along the way. But the Word of God says that His power is in you. Watch out, devil, I'm going to pray. Watch out, world, I'm going to serve the Lord. Don't become discouraged. Don't get flat-footed on me. Get a little gumption in you. Get the courage of the Lord. You have the mind of Christ and you have the power of God flowing through you. One of these days, you're going to get to heaven and you're going to shine like crazy. But even in the meantime, you are powerful as you live and as you breathe. Pray that way. Live that way. Expect it. Like the Ephesians, you may have some opposition. You may have some stuff that you need to go through. But understand this, you're winning. Your ticket is already stamped. You're going to get to the other side glorious. And in between now and then, you are going to go from victory unto victory. Now, I know I'm talking to some people who are feeling absolutely defeated this morning. You may have just given up yesterday. You may have decided you're just going to cash it all in. Stop it. You are a saint. You have been born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God will lavish on you as much grace as it takes, and He's got plenty left over, to make your life smell beautiful again. And it's not for you. It's all to His praise and honor and glory. You get to the other side, and you're going to tell your story, and everybody's going to say, there's one name that's worthy of the praise here. Look what the Lord has done in all of this. Why would God listen to my prayers? To His own great glory when we get our prayers right. When we pray in Jesus' name, then Jesus' reputation is on the line. Let me ask you a couple things. Does God have enough power to build His church here in East Berlin? Does God have enough power to clean out the bars and fill up the churches? Does God have enough power to turn everyone's attention off American idols and onto Himself? Amen. Amen. He chose us and invited us close. The closer we get, the more we glow. The more we glow, the more the power that raised Jesus from the dead flows through us. The more the power flows, the more people are going to be transformed from trash into trophies of God's grace. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me this morning? All praise, honor, and glory.